Glad to have you with us. Am I too loud this morning?
No.
Okay, this morning is going to be a little different. We're going to do something unusual this morning. We're going back to prehistoric times. Well, not exactly prehistoric, but pre-PowerPoint. My computer this week had a very unfortunate incident. I think it was something of a cardiac nature. I've never seen a computer actually lay over on its side before. After a little over 4 years, it decided to give up the computer ghost. So we have no PowerPoint this morning, and I thought about this. This is really, it's upsetting. I thought, Don, you're actually going to have to preach this morning. And so, I know, somebody suggested that I go all the way and take off this microphone and actually have to yell like they did in the old days. I don't like feeling that old. Pardon? He does give utterance, but not necessarily volume. Well, this morning, I am excited about this topic, and I had some great illustrations on PowerPoint planned out for you, but instead this morning, you will actually have to visualize these things. I'll do my best to draw a verbal picture. And we'll just pretend that it's working. As you can see, the title of the message this morning is The Ultimate Makeover. You can't see that? Have to project your imagination. The Ultimate Makeover. I've been involuntarily made over this morning. You know, it is. There is something exciting about it when you see a makeover on TV, you know, Mrs. Williams or whoever she is, all of a sudden is selected randomly, or maybe not so randomly, to be the subject of a $320 million makeover. She is going to have teeth so bright that they blind you. She is going to have a figure so dazzling that it's striking. She's going to have everything redone. And they do the same thing for the men. So, a few years ago, none of this was possible. If you didn't look dazzling, maybe you had to stay that way for the rest of your life, but now you can buy yourself out of it. And I think for everybody, there isn't anybody that I know of that wouldn't like to look a little better. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then for others, it seems to become an obsession. And maybe because society is that way. It kind of accepts and rejects people, at least part of society, on the basis of what they look like. And that is a tragic shame. It goes beyond that. It's really, at its heart, sinful. And a person might question that, but I believe that it is sinful. We were all created by a loving, caring God. And He did not make us so that we would go around criticizing each other for what we look like or what we don't look like. He intended that we would have brotherly affection, that we would have a genuine appreciation and affection for each other, not on the basis of what we look like, but on the basis of being a reflection of His nature. Every one of us, in some way, is a brilliant reflection of an element, or maybe several elements, of God's nature That is exciting. That is true beauty. You know, it really bothers me sometimes when I see people accepted and idolized and held up on the basis of how beautiful they are. Give me a break. What happened to their heart? You know, the scripture says that God does not see as man sees, but he looks upon the heart. He does not judge on the outward appearance like men do, but he looks upon the heart. And I had an amazing experience as a new Christian. Suddenly, everything was different. Everything was seen from a different light because I had come to really believe in Jesus. I knew what was really important in life and what really wasn't. I met a group of people on campus, the University of Washington, that were real believers. They really believed in the Lord. And this was a brand new experience for me. I had never been with a group of people that actually had something, some kind of bond that was on the basis of character, and not on the basis of just a mutual interest or the basis of how socially accepted and popular they were. But suddenly I was cast in the midst of this group of people that had one thing in common. They really believed in Jesus. I was experiencing some things from a brand new way in life. And here's what I found. Much to my surprise, I found myself focused on a young woman that was in the group who was absolutely gorgeous. You say, well, that's not surprising. Oh, yes, it is, because physically, it was just the other way around. She was homely. In anybody's book, she was homely. And she was one of this group of believers. I talked to her, and I was astounded at the beauty of her soul. I thought it was absolutely remarkable. This young woman really believed in Christ. And I was astounded that suddenly she seemed to be beautiful to me. Now, you wouldn't think, you know, that a person who was, I was 23 years old at the time, would be so stupid and naive as to judge somebody on the basis of exterior appearance. But then maybe you're more familiar with human nature. I was surprised by my own appreciation and sense of attachment to this woman who was really dedicated to Christ. She was studying the Chinese language so that she could go and take the gospel to the Chinese. And, you know, the old part of me said, well, that's stupid, you know. But the new Don said, effective or not, that's dedication. And that was very, very appealing. It was a beautiful characteristic. And it wasn't just that, it was her spirit, her attitude. There was an attitude of, are you ready for this? Humility. Yet that was astounding. I hardly ever saw humility. But it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. My life was turned upside down. Or should I say, right side up. So faith in Christ brings a new perspective. What if you had an opportunity for a makeover? NBC is going to spend $320 million doing a makeover on you. Would you take it? What was that? I couldn't hear that. Willie says he would take the cash. Well, that's good. I like that. I think I'd take the cash too, right? A lot more good could be done with it than to, you know, shape up Fleming's appearance. Well, you know, it's a good question. If you were faced with that decision, would it really be wise to take it? Do you know that going through a procedure like that has hurt a lot of people badly? Irreparably, irreversibly changed their lives, and not always for the good. Some of the things that came out of it were quite ugly. Sometimes people have had their marriage relationship ruined as a result. Maybe God made us all different to help us understand something. It's not the outside. It's the inside. It's a remarkable thing that all of us, as Christians, are one. We look so different. We think so differently. We live so differently. And yet all of us are one, according to what Jesus taught. We are not just going about our separate ways. We're bound together. There are a lot of people here this morning that would rather have slept in, but they wanted to be together with you. People that had a common faith and belief. Bound together by that. I don't think there are very many people that came here this morning to see all of the beautiful faces. And if you did, shame on you. Vanity. Vanity. All is vanity. A message throughout the book of Ecclesiastes written by the wisest man on the face of the earth, King Solomon, written by a man who had all that you could want. He was a handsome, strong man. He was a man who had riches greater than anybody else on the earth. God had blessed him so that he had a personality that was absolutely magnetic. And yet, through all of his experiences, he kept saying, vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. It doesn't mean anything. By the way, have you ever seen those, and you have to picture on our overhead here, have you ever seen those little seats that are real fancy looking, that have the oval-shaped mirror in the center, and you know, they have all the makeup and lipstick and the rouge and all that spread across the table. Why, a vanity, exactly, that's what it is. Why do they call those things vanities? Well, how did that happen? Somebody said, I know what, let's call that a vanity because these people are wasting their time. You know, it's true. I guess it was so obviously true that that's what they decided to call it. Life is a lot like that. Trust me, you know, if you have no room for women, especially you gentlemen, because gentlemen are markedly without vanity. At least I am. You know, if you scoff at those ladies sitting behind the mirror and primping and spending 2 hours getting ready for this and that, think about this. Have you been a little proud of maybe your biceps? No, okay, well, maybe maybe you've been a little proud of your intelligence or some other, it doesn't matter, your skill, whatever it is. You know, there's a good part of that and there's a bad part of it. You know, it's good when a man feels good that he's able to do something well, to do it skillfully. But when he takes the credit upon himself and says, I'm good, you're going, oh no, you're not. You know, if a man says, you know, I have some skill, God has made me able to do this, there is a mark of beauty. That's true beauty. That's not somebody who's filled with vanity. They still appreciate the capabilities. I appreciate the amazing capabilities of some of these animals. The fish, it swims so gracefully through the sea, whatever. They were made that way. They didn't think, I'm getting to be pretty good at my swimming. They understood, or they, at least they go about life, and it's a gift. And there are none of us, at least, that would deny it. I don't think animals have such a thing as pride, all except for the peacock. And I tell you, those guys are not happy. You may think so with all the fancy feathers and all that sort of thing, but they are not happy. I did a wedding on a ranch in East Kent here several years back, and this guy had a peacock that was enormous. It had these feathers that spread way out like this, and we did the wedding right in front of this stupid peacock. I have a photo of it somewhere. But that peacock, as beautiful as it was really encumbered. It couldn't go anywhere, especially if those tail feathers were out. It couldn't go anywhere without watching to be sure it's not going to bust another tail feather or something. And it may look wonderful, but it wouldn't be a great place to be. And that's the way vanity is. Are you so sure you want them to spend $400 million revamping your appearance? Or your house, or your car, or your motorcycle. They have all these makeovers for everything now. And I'll tell you what, after they make over your house, you're going to live there about the same way you lived in the other one. It may have a few other features, but life still goes on. You know, and the new car, I got a new car here a short time ago. It's always the same. After you have it for a little while, it takes you from one place to another. Life is like that. Everything in life is intended to teach us something, and it has to do with God's reality and His involvement and His love and His heart for us. His desire is not that you're so accomplished. It is not that you're so beautiful or handsome. It is not that you are so popular and well-respected, or that you're so powerful, or any of those things. His desire is that you can have real enjoyment in life, that you can experience what it's like to have pure joy in the sunrise, sunset, the warm smile of a friend who perhaps isn't so lovely or handsome. He delights when you see true beauty, things of real importance, the things that last for an eternity, not for a mere 70, 80, 90 years. I am astounded sometimes that people will go to nearly any length to draw attention to themselves. And at one level, this makes me irritated with others, and hence myself. On the other hand, it makes me feel very sorry for others, and hence myself, because it is so far away from what God intended Is it perhaps that we have such a powerful desire to have attention because we have resisted and ignored God's attention? Wow. Maybe we have a thirst for the attention of others because, well, somehow there's just a need for it there. Have you ever thought maybe that need is not being fulfilled because you're not living for God's approval? Because you're not living for Him. God placed that need in your heart. We need approval. That's not a bad thing, as long as it's God's approval. Jesus said, how can I judge righteous judgment if I live for the approval of men? The answer is obvious. You can't. And so many are trying to garner approval like they're trying to garner riches or beauty or power or whatever it is. And it's just empty. It's vanity. Okay. What if you were able to receive the ultimate makeover? No, I don't mean, going to Dental Bright and having your hair redone. You know, you can get hair extensions now. I could have gotten hair extensions before I came this morning and come out here looking like Bob Marley. You know, they can do just about anything. But if you were able to have a real makeover, the kind that takes a heart of stone and puts in its place a heart of flesh, a soft, tender heart. I wonder how many of you have a soft, tender heart. Don't raise your hand. Then, if you do, I'll ask how many of you have humility. What if somebody had the capability of doing a complete makeover on you from the inside out? Wouldn't that be something? Now, that would be worth our interest. That would be worth our desire. That would be truly a worthy goal and purpose. I'm going to share with you a daily prescription for inner beauty, for the makeover of the inside person. And when I say daily prescription, I mean daily. These are things that God has asked us to do every day. Now, if you had the opportunity to go to the drugstore and get pills that would do this, and it said take one a day, and it would make you into a beautiful person, wouldn't you take them? Okay, well, this is a little harder than that. It actually requires some effort. Oh, well, forget that. But God has designed it so that the things that we apply ourselves to on a regular, consistent basis are the things that actually pay off. It's a guard that He set in place. You cannot instantaneously change what your heart is like, but God can. And He will if you value and treasure His nature enough to ask for Him, to ask for it. This is in four parts. We haven't even gotten to part one yet. But the principle of the thing is most critical, and that's why I spent so much time in the introduction. Four things that will transform your life that God has given you as a daily prescription. Number one is praise. The scripture says, Psalms 145:2, every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. The words of David, a man who illustrated the beauty of God's nature so well in his life. and like us, was dependent on God's forgiveness also. But he said, every day I will do this. What? Praise. Give praise to God. We're going to discuss that in more detail. Second, pray. Every day we should be committed to prayer. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Psalms 88, verse 9. Prayer was an everyday matter in David's life. It wasn't something he hit some days and let go other days. He did it consistently, regularly. Number three, study. Just out of the corner of my eye, I saw somebody with one of the biggest yawns I've ever seen in my life, just on that cue of that word, study. Well, the scripture even admits it's the weariness of the bones. But we're going to take a little different look at that one. And the last thing is serve. None of this is any good unless you apply it, unless you utilize it. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily. Daily. All of these things are supposed to be done daily. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, which in our culture lasts till about midnight. We have quite a few hours left. As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It's saying everybody should engage in this, encouraging each other every day. And the purpose of that is so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. In other words, if we stick together, encourage each other, and nurture each other along the way, the overall effect is that we're not going to be deceived. Well, that's the oneness that God wants us to have. Well, I want you to commit that to heart, if you will. These are four things that you can do every day that will give you inner beauty, that will align you with God's nature, His spirit, His heart, and that will transform the inner person. Praise every day. Pray every day. Study every day. And serve every day. I hope that that gives you a handle to hang this thing on in your mind and in your heart. If you forget it, we have it conveniently printed in the bulletin, in case you can't see our invisible PowerPoint. These are critical things to remember. I'll tell you how I came about this sermon. I was searching through the scriptures. I wanted to see, what is it that God wants us to do every day? Now, probably it covers just about everything. That is what He really wants us to do every day. But these were specifically called out in scriptures as things God wants us to do daily. This is putting the rubber to the road. What does He want me to specifically pay attention to every day? Some of those things are self-evident, but the scripture calls these four things out very clearly. And this sermon, by the way, is predicated on the idea that you're a Christian, whoever you are, and that you're a real Christian. If you're not there, some of this isn't really connecting, perhaps. I encourage you to take those steps to become a Christian. The most critical decision in your life. Then things will begin to make more sense. How long does it take to really change your life? Well, some changes seem to occur pretty rapidly. As you absorb things and accept different things into your life, you develop what psychologists call a homeostasis, a new homeostasis. Those are the things that you're familiar with and that you gravitate toward. And it takes, according to psychologists, 21 days. I don't know where they got that. It takes 21 days to form a brand new habit. That's something that becomes part of your homeostasis. You find yourself automatically going through this process. Now, I'll submit to you that if you apply these four principles in your life on a daily basis for the next 3 or 4 weeks, you will find them becoming conditioned reflex, that you'll do them automatically. Now, one of the magic things about self-control and self-determination is that once you apply it for a little while, it's free. It takes some effort for a little while, but once you get it down, it's free. It's yours for good. God made it that way. It's as though he looked at us and he said, you know, if these creatures appreciate something well enough to apply it on a regular basis, I'm going to give it to them. It does seem to work that way. And sometimes we waste that capacity on vanity instead of things that are important. So I was searching the word for things that are exhorted to be on a daily basis, and these are the four things that I came up with. The Lord promised Israel in the Old Testament beauty for ashes. And if we only realized that we have nothing in and of ourselves, we would realize that God has given us beauty for ashes. What has become corrupt? You know, here he creates us and we go on our own way doing this and that and just enjoying life and giving no acknowledgement to him. And yet he gives us a way of salvation. He could have easily said, you know, these people are so selfish. Forget it. You know, I just don't want anything to do with them. Could you blame him? You couldn't. But he is gracious and merciful, and his love endures forever and ever. In 1 Peter chapter 3, an admonition is made particularly toward the younger women and particularly toward those that are having some struggles in their marriage. And here's the advice. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Do you see the message here? Particularly, and I think this has application for everybody, but particularly for the woman. Do you see what God is saying? He's saying he absolutely loves a woman who has a gentle and quiet spirit. I believe that also that has an important place in the makeup of a man. What good are all the muscles in the world? And this is to you, young ladies, you know. What good is if a man has biceps the size of Fort Knox and you know, veins like road maps, and the guy does not have any capacity, any tenderness, sensitivity, or gentleness? If he doesn't, you know, I hope that there's no appeal in that. That looks tremendously like vanity. And vanity is an ugly, ugly thing. I think that's why some women are really turned off by, men that that spend 8 hours a day in the gym. It's actually offensive to them. And I think that probably comes from a little bit of insight. So, instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Well, that may go contrary to what you believe, or how you feel, or how you've lived. If it does, you need to take another look. If you want a makeover, you have to be willing to make some changes. That's what it's about. Okay, taking a little closer look at some of these things. I have to emphasize this. I failed to. The text for the sermon, the main text, is this. Psalms 90, verse 17. It says, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Wow. What a great scripture. That should be the prayer of our hearts this morning. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let His nature make us over into reflections of His love. May we be just separated and released and find freedom from the darkness of selfishness. May God anoint our lives with the eyes of love. In Psalms 145:2, it mentions praise. "I will praise you in the beauty of holiness." That's Psalms 29, verse 2. "I will praise you in the beauty of holiness." As far as your praise, your daily praise to God, when you go before the Lord, stand before Him not with shame, but go boldly before the throne of God to receive forgiveness in the time of need. Go to the throne of His forgiveness, compassion, and mercy boldly to receive forgiveness. And He will bless you with what He has promised through Jesus, which is forgiveness. And there you stand holy. Not because you deserve it, certainly, but because He has promised it. Not because you have it all together, but because His power makes it possible. And then worship Him, give Him praise, then please, please don't stand there and just go, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Please, please don't do that. If you're going to praise God, praise Him for something. Praise Him for what He has done. Better yet, praise Him for who He is. Praise Him because you can see that His nature is love. Praise Him because He has forgiven us for so much. Praise Him because He has made such a wondrous creation. It's all around us, everywhere. The closer you look, the more amazing it is. Praise Him in the beauty of holiness. Isn't it great to get out and away from all of this? Just to get out in the woods somewhere where the birds chirp and the stream babbles instead of a bunch of people. Isn't it great to get away from what we're used to, the status quo, and get out somewhere where things are simple and where things are pure and where it seems like the way it was intended? Maybe a garden. Maybe in the Garden of Eden. You get out there and you're separated from everything and you have an easy praise that goes to God. It's a natural praise that goes to God. You feel closer to God because you're separate from everything. Do you know that word "separate" is basically the same as the word "holy"? That's what God means when He wants us to be holy, or when His Word is holy. It's separate. It's not like the rest. You're separate. You're not like the rest. God has given His whole heart to you, more than you or I begin to realize. God has given His whole heart to you, everything He had, most valuable thing in the universe, Jesus Himself, so that you could be made over, so that your heart would be capable of praising God in holiness. So the Scripture says, every day I will praise you. And in Psalms 29:2 it says, in the beauty of holiness, to praise Him in the beauty of holiness. You see, real beauty is something on the inside, and it lasts forever. This is good news for all of us that have defects. You know, I woke up this morning, I've got kind of a bump here. It's what humans call pimples. And, you know, I don't like that. It just bugs me. So I need to have a makeover. But what difference does it make? What difference does it make? It doesn't make a difference to any of you. If it does, that's kind of weird, actually. But it doesn't matter. That's where we need freedom. It's all about me, you know. Me this and me that and me the other thing. Have you married a woman just because she's beautiful? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But, you know, well, good luck to you. Good luck to you, because you probably have found out that she thinks it's all about her. Yes, sir, it's all about me this morning as I sit in front of my vanity and spend my 3 hours getting my eyebrows right. And good luck to you, friend. You know, if you married a woman like that, I hope you enjoy that beauty, because that's about all you're going to get, ultimately. you know, it's all vanity. But a person whose heart, whose inner being is changed, a person who sees the invisible even within themselves, that part that isn't so visible to the world, and rejoices because God has cleansed something that really was offensive. He's given new life to somebody that has come to spiritual ruin. Now that is beauty. Oh, if I could only be the angel that walked through the room bringing a clear sense of God's presence, His power, and His grace without ever pointing to self. Sometime I'll tell you about that. It was an astounding experience. Well, praise. Misunderstood. It's not what people often think it is. Praise, does it scare you to hear that, you know, you're going to be praising God for eternity? You go, no? Well, the experience of praise that comes from the heart has some revelations that come with it. And one of those revelations is that real praise is simply the recognition of what God has given us. We're surrounded with it in one another more than in anything else. We're surrounded with it. And when you see the work of God's Spirit in the heart of another, your soul automatically gives praise to God, recognizing the blessings that He's given us, gives us natural praise. And it goes on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever. Why? Because there is no end to it. There are always new discoveries that you can find that will bring your heart to genuine praise of God. And if you feel a lack of praise, do like David did. You know, he instructed his soul to praise God. He said, "Praise God, O my soul." I don't think that he was saying that just because it sounded good. God had it recorded forever. He said, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." He recognized there was an absence of something, and his prayer was that God would give him that capacity even to praise him. So we have so much to learn, and much of that is learned in the process of praising God. Well, prayer. I've had some Christians argue with me that prayer is not something that you're supposed to do every day. Personally, I always felt like it was. I never, you know, found every scripture that teaches that you have to pray every day. And so, what a debate that would turn into, huh? My position paper says you have to pray every day. Oh, yeah? Well, my position paper says you don't. It's a good thing God's patient. Psalms 88, verse 9 says, "Lord, I have called every day upon you." David, again. "I have called every day upon you." Well, David set the example of daily prayer. I think that was a good thing to do. He was a man after God's own heart. And then, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, there's so much there and so much we miss. In Matthew 6, verse 11, it says, as part of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." What is it? Is that daily prayer? Is that? It says, "Give us this day our daily bread." So if you miss that tomorrow, you're not asking God for the bread. You hope it happens anyway. No, this is intended as daily prayer to ask God for that bread. But here, it's not just that. There's so much more. If you don't understand it, if bread is all you think about, you know, the physical bread, you're missing it. Because Jesus said this, "I have bread to eat that you don't know about." And he said, "My bread is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven." That was sustenance for him. That gave him energy and power to continue living. You remember the woman at the well? When his disciples came and questioned his motive in talking to this woman, he said to them, "I have bread to eat that you don't know of." In other words, they were questioning his motives. His motives were more pure than anything they understood, and they didn't even understand what he was talking about. "I have bread to eat that you know not of." Matthew chapter 4, Jesus being tempted by the devil. He says, "Here, turn this stone into bread." What was Jesus' answer? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." What's he saying? Sustenance, strength, come from getting into God's word. "Man shall not live by bread alone." See, Jesus was saying, "Oh, well, that's such a great value. Oh, wow, turn this," and I'm seriously paraphrasing, "turn this rock into bread. Turn this stone into bread." Jesus was seeing something so much more critical. "That's nothing. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And you're going to tell me, no, the Christian doesn't have to or need to study the Word of God every day. Give me a break. Jesus treasured it that much. He used it as an illustration to put Satan out of the program. And it worked. Well, pray every day. It will make beauty shine upon your face, ultimately. And I mean the kind that comes from God and not simply human effort. prayer is just really an intimate relationship with God. It's something that comes from a fervent love of and desire for and communion with the living God. Study. According to the scriptures, Acts 17:11, the scriptures say that the Thessalonians were more, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they studied the word daily. This is part of their daily prescription. They studied the word daily to see whether the things that Paul said were true. They did it, and it became a part of their regular being. If that word study set you on edge, let me assure you that the kind of study that I'm talking about right now is absolute pure joy. It is the discovery of the wonders of God that exist all around us. That kind of study is not a labor. It is a privilege and a joy. They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the word daily. They searched the word to find out what does it say. And, you know, we have so many things we can do now as far as searching God's word. You know, for $10 you can buy a program that you slip into your computer and you can search for anything you want and find it just like that. Any word in God's word, you can find it just like that. It's astounding. I have a little PDA that has some Bibles loaded on it, and I can carry it with me anywhere I go and find any phrase, any word in the Bible. It's astounding. We have great capacities. This sermon is largely, much of the work that was done here, was done on the basis of that kind of search. We should utilize it. It's a great opportunity. So, in preparing this, I didn't say, what is a good theory about an internal makeover? I asked the question, what does God say about it? And so I was able to search the Word and find out, what does He say that we're supposed to do on a daily basis, on a regular, repetitive basis, in order to be renovated on the inside, to be made new? In Proverbs 8:34, it says to watch at the gates of wisdom daily. Wisdom is part of this process. Not merely knowledge, but wisdom itself. The scripture teaches us to seek wisdom. And I especially want to draw your attention to, mark this down and check it out for yourself. It's in Ezekiel 28:7. It speaks of God's wisdom, and you know what it says? It says, Lord, in the beauty of your wisdom. In the beauty of your wisdom. There is something beautiful about wisdom. That is Ezekiel 28, verse 7. Finally, serve, and that is simply apply. Do it. Don't just think about just do it. Almost like the Nike logo. I like that term, indeed. You know how to tell whether somebody's real or not? What do they do? Not what do they say or how do they, you know, what kind of spin do they give? It's what do they actually do? That's how you can tell where a person really is. The ultimate expression of something that's true is indeed. Jesus used the expression, indeed I tell you, in other words, truly. Isn't it interesting that indeed is synonymous with what's real and true? Indeed, that's what you do. And serving is to experience freedom from the gloomy darkness of self-serving, self-centered everything. Freedom from that opens the world in a whole new direction, and that's God's desire for us. I like Psalm 61, verse 8. It says there, I'm paraphrasing, But it teaches there that we should sing so that we can daily perform our vows. That's amazing. It's amazing to me because I can't sing, you know. I am vocally challenged. So, but even for me, this scripture holds, if I sing, then it gives me power of a certain kind. Power to perform my vows. That is, I desire to do something. Well, it takes power and determination to carry that out. Singing helps you to do that. So I think we ought to sing. I think we ought to sing a song of invitation. As you get ready for that, I want to give you a couple things to think about here. Today is the 25th day of September, and the scripture admonishes us to take action today as long as it is called today. The scriptures say that his mercies are new every day. That gives us motivation and power to get a new start every day and to be motivated by the idea of the makeover that God is working in our lives. The scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I like that scripture. Because this is the day that God has made, let's rejoice. Let's be glad in it. It's the environment in which he desires for us to live, to abide, and he loves it when we enjoy the things that he has made. He has promised us beauty for ashes, and that's all any of us, in and of ourselves, have to offer, ashes. But he takes and creates a brand new being out of the mere ashes. That's in Isaiah chapter 61, and the first three verses there. Please read those when you get a chance. Now, this is a song of praise and worship, and I would like you, if you have a special need this morning, to feel free to come forward. If you've not become a Christian, feel free to come forward. In any case, I would like to see this be a brand new day for you. And please take the bulletin and that centerpiece in the bulletin, put it on your refrigerator, and think about the four things you can do every day that will implement the ultimate makeover. Let's all stand.
Thank you. announcements. That's okay, Stacy. I want to remind the youth, there's some activities coming up this month. Youth celebration night tomorrow here at 7 of the building. All young people invited. Our Spokane Youth Rally, we leave on Friday. All parents be aware of that. We're going Friday at noon here at the building. And we'll be going over to Spokane. October 7th, Don Fleming wants to make sure that everybody remembers the evangelism team meeting will resume. Church work day will be October 8th. And there are new service schedules for October through December for all the men out in the, on the foyer way. College classes are in session on Wednesday night. If you're interested in that, check out your bulletin for some information. A community outreach project is being considered for an alternative to a Halloween activity for children. If you're interested in being part of this event, we need to please see Gloria Hawkish. And she's interested in hitting something up, but she needs your support to be able to pull that off. So if you're interested, please see her. There are some prayer requests. We're going to continue our prayers for Gene Maynard. He is receiving chemo and radiation for his lung cancer. We are encouraged to also send cards to him and his wife. Gail Lindsay asks prayers for Rose Kistler, Bruce's mother. This coming Wednesday, she'll be having a surgical procedure to install a stent in her neck. She has a 50-50 chance for survival, so that's a huge thing. Please pray that God will keep his hand on that situation. Rose Kistler. Please pray for Gail, also, who is having knee pain and financial challenges. And lastly, Kate Campbell has asked prayers for safety of her relatives. She has three of her aunts who are in the New Orleans area and have not been found yet. Please pray for her son Josh's salvation and pray for improved health for Sister Kate. Okay, let's end our service by going to prayer to him. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for being able to come to you, knowing that you are listening to us, that you're concerned about us. Father, we just praise you for your awesomeness and how you do love us. We do know that you are in control, that you have a plan. We just ask that you will work your will in our lives. Father, we ask that specifically for Brother Gene Maynard, that you'll be with him during this hard time of receiving the chemo and the radiation of the cancer. And we ask that you will help us remember to encourage him. We ask that you'll be with Rose Kistler, that she has surgery this week, and we ask that your hand will be in this whole situation. Your will be done. And I'm sure the family would love to see her make it through this. And so, Father, we just ask for your blessing. Father, also be with Gail and with some pain that she's having in her knee and also some financial challenges that she's having in her life, that you will be there for her, that she'll continue to look to you, knowing that you will provide. Father, we just ask that you be with Kate Campbell's family, especially the three aunts who have not been found. We just ask that you be with that whole situation. Father, the storm just hit again. And we are concerned for the safety and the survival of the people down in the Gulf States there. We just ask that you will send them your mercy. You send them your love. Allow the church that's down there to flourish in a way that they can reach out and that your name will be glorified because even in this disaster. Father, be with those who are leading in all those efforts as well, that you will guide them and give them wisdom and strength to carry on. Father, be with us as a family, as a church, that will continue to shine your light to the world around us. We thank you for this time of coming to fellowship this morning, to worship your name, to learn from your word. We ask that you'll help bless our lives this week by what has happened here today. Be with us this evening as we come back, that you will bless our time and the different meetings throughout the weeks and activities that will be happening. Lord, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May God be with you. Have a wonderful day.